still all think of refugees as being in camps. We still have images in our minds from conflicts of the past, from Vietnam, from elsewhere. Those images are out of date. The way things are happening now in the 21st century presents a different phenomenon, and we're raising this issue because we think it does have to be looked at far more actively than it has been till now.
Mayors from some 20 cities around the world will be gathering in Geneva to identify areas of need and challenges ahead. What is at the top of their agenda?
Well, really, what this is all about is really having a totally new look at the way that refugee flows are happening in the world. What we've seen in 2009 is that the traditional image of refugees in camps around the world is no longer an accurate view of things. Increasingly, what we're seeing is that refugees are moving to cities. This is part of a broader megatrend of move towards urbanization around the world, but it's important, we think, that cities are prepared to deal with this, and particularly those in the developing world.
What percentage of the world's recognized refugees currently live in an urban setting in cities and towns?
Well, it's very hard to put precise figures on it because of the nature of the issue, which is that many people choose to live invisible in cities, but we estimate this at about half of all the refugees under UNHCR's protection. So urban settings are becoming the main places where refugees are appearing.
Now, does this also include internally displaced persons?
It certainly does. If you look at a city, for example, such as Kabul, you will see that you're getting there people moving from the highlands of the country, the Hazara population moving down to the city. You're getting people moving from conflict areas to cities like Kabul, Herat, Kandahar, Mazar, and other places around that country. So that makes up part of the population as well. Internally displaced people, economic migrants, all kinds of people are moving to cities. What we're saying is that you have to look at the fact that refugees are now part of that population. They have particular needs. If you don't really manage this issue properly, you raise the prospect of tension within urban settings, and we think it has to be addressed and looked at. And that's why we're talking to mayors, to NGOs, to municipal authorities and others here in Geneva at the moment with a view to broadening thinking about this issue.
In Africa, I'm thinking of two areas which have been hard-pressed for absorption of refugees, Abidjan in West Africa and Ivory Coast, and in Southern Africa by the Zimbabwe-South Africa border. How have Abidjan and Johannesburg reflected the absorption of refugees in an urban environment?
What I can say is that Africa is certainly bearing the brunt of the problem. You have many of the refugee populations of the world that we're looking after are in the African continent. Most of the settings where this is occurring are in developing countries. This isn't a phenomenon that primarily we're seeing in North America, Europe, or the richer world. It is located in the developing world. Africa is very much part of it. You're seeing it in those cities you named. You're seeing right across the continent a number of areas, you know, from Khartoum down to Cape Town, where refugees are really becoming a significant proportion of the population.
And do you expect this urbanization trend among refugees to continue in Africa and accelerate in coming years?
Absolutely. It's not a trend that just applies to refugees. It's applying across the board. Increasingly, we're seeing the world's population living in cities. Refugees are part of that population. If you don't, as a city planner, focus on the fact that you're going to have to deal with refugees as well, you are likely to have problems down the road if this isn't addressed. You'll have people moving to the city for economic reasons. On the one hand, you'll have refugee populations on the others. We think refugees deserve protection. They deserve being cared for. And their needs are going to have to be addressed in planning for the future.
Anyone who's been studying the refugee problems over the years is very pleasantly surprised to discover that refugees do have rights. Can you tell me how countries define the rights and guarantees of refugees living under their protection?
Well, those countries whose signatories to the 1951 Refugee Convention recognize certain rights, and one is that you don't forcibly deport refugees, that the what we call non-refoulement is a key principle in that. When refugees travel, their rights go with them. We want these rights to be respected. We would rather that refugees can be accepted into communities, that they can appeal for the rights that they're entitled to. And that might, for example, include access to food rations, to education, to health services, to being part of the labor market. You should not have in a city people living in dire conditions who have to hide from the authorities. This is a reality of the way the world's changing. And we think the world's major cities need to adapt to this new reality.
Many refugees struggle to eke out a living and survive in their new urban environments, where they often fall victim to scams and crime, and others keep a low profile for fear of deportation. How do they manage to survive, and what can be done for them?
Well, you hear all kinds of tales of how people do manage. Tales that tug at the heartstrings. You have people who really do not go out of their homes, who try to keep as low profile as possible, families hidden away while they try and establish their status in a new country as refugees. It can be very tough indeed, depending on which country you're in. As you know, some countries are more willing than others to accept refugees and to work productively with them. We have worked with a number of countries, and we've made progress in a number of areas to get better treatment of refugees in those environments. And I think increasingly member states see the need to deal with these kind of issues in a way that does respect their rights. That's been the trend over many years.
UNHCR recognizes the role of mayors and municipal authorities, as well as NGOs and civil society groups, to meet the challenges encountered in the urban environment. How can these authorities meet the challenges of a growing urban refugee population?
It will be very hard. I think we have to accept that. If you're a poor country, if you're in a city which is dealing with many other problems, including internal migration and economic migration to cities, it's going to be extremely tough indeed. It's hard to ask a country which has very limited government potential or maybe dealing with conflicts and other issues to factor into urban planning the additional needs of refugees. But nonetheless, that's something we have to start people thinking about. Poor countries are going to need help in this. Cities in poor countries will need help in this. And as you know, the world's cities are increasing in their population sizes. Cities from Kabul to Kinshasa to right across all the continents where we look at, from Shanghai, where you now have populations in excess of 20 million or so. Cities are having to adapt to vastly increased populations, and where those include refugees, we want to ensure that their protection is looked after.
While refugees are attracted by the lure of cities to pursue higher living standards there, many pressures are exerted on the infrastructures, on housing needs, on education, on health needs, and these can cause tensions between local and refugee populations and foment xenophobia and discrimination. How does UNHCR identify these problems and reach out to refugees?
We can only fall back on our experience in many countries. You saw the disastrous consequences of xenophobia in, for example, South Africa in 2008, and you've seen it in other countries too. You're absolutely correct. If you don't manage these issues properly, they give rise to tensions which can unfold in very negative ways. But we don't believe that that has to be the way things go. Refugees bring enormous benefits to the communities they're in, and you have to look at ways of maximizing those positives rather than seeing this as an increasing problem. It's not a problem. It's part of the nature of the way that mankind is moving in the 21st century, and it needs recognizing, it needs being properly dealt with.
And the expense issue is also something that's very great. Public health resources, food supplies get more expensive as more people live in an urban environment. How are these problems being dealt with?
Well, these are early days. I mean, we don't have all the answers to how this issue should be correctly dealt with. And that's why this dialogue of the High Commissioner for Human Rights is getting underway this week. This is going to take a long time to work on. The answers will unfold over some time. And I think it's an issue that we're all going to be increasingly seeing and following over the coming years.
And you have officials from 20 different cities meeting in Geneva this week?
At least 20. There's municipal officials from at least 20 countries. We also have non-governmental organizations here. We have ministers from some countries. I believe the number of delegates exceeds 60 or 70. So it's quite a large pool of people if you look at all the backgrounds and countries they come from. We have endeavored this week to raise public awareness of this issue. It's going to be a long-term process. It's not something we'll achieve in just this week, but we want to get people to getting their minds around this issue. This is something that's going to be with us for years to come. It requires action, and that's what this week's meetings are about.